You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up tonight after 7, NPR continues its ongoing coverage of the Republican National Convention in Cleveland. That starts tonight at 7 here on the Ideas Network.
First, if you have a chronic disease, you probably spend a lot of time dealing with the healthcare system. According to the National Health Council, chronic diseases affect more than 40% of the population. About half of all adults have a chronic condition, and almost a third of the population is now living with multiple chronic conditions.
All that adds up to a lot of time dealing with the healthcare system, whether it's making appointments with specialists, following up on treatments, maybe filling multiple prescriptions every month, or coordinating with labs to get test results.
We want to hear from you now at 800-642-1234. What's your experience like dealing with the healthcare system? Does it ultimately feel like a lot of work coordinating care for yourself or your kid or maybe an aging loved one? Do you feel like there could be changes, things that could make the healthcare system in the U.S. work better for you, a consumer? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Dr. Victor Montori joins us now. He's a professor of medicine at the Mayo Clinic. He's a practicing diabetes doctor, researcher, an author, and a recognized expert in minimally disruptive medicine. Dr. Montori, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much for having me.
You talk about the work of being a patient. What do you mean by that?
Well, I refer to perhaps one of those major blind spots in medicine. If you were to look at any textbook of medicine, go to any medical school and look at their curriculum, it doesn't exist. There is no study, understanding, measurement, or consideration of how much work, effort, attention, and time patients and their families have to put in the process of accessing care, using the care that they need to use, and establishing the self-care practices that are necessary to manage any chronic condition. As a result, it's an important part of care, but it's widely ignored.
Now, you're a practicing physician. Can you give us an example of what somebody might go through?
Absolutely. I work in Minnesota, and very similar to some of my colleagues in Wisconsin, we see, for instance, farmers. For farmers, the harvest is an important part of the year, and their focus is on making sure that the harvest goes as planned. If you have a chronic condition that requires attention, such as diabetes, a clinician wouldn't be surprised if the patient may not be able to handle both the harvest and their care for diabetes at the same time. And it is often the case that when I see patients during the harvest that their sugar control is just not as good as some other time of the year. Well, the temptation for a physician may be to intensify the treatment. In other words, ask the patient to do more work to get their diabetes control be better during the harvest without recognizing that what's happening is we are competing in healthcare with patient work. We're competing with the farming work. The sustainability of the patient's family and their financial well-being for the rest of the year depends on the harvest work. So that's an example of where when we take care of people, we will ignore the fact that what we ask people to do is work, and that it competes with the same energy, attention, and time that people will have for other things that are more meaningful in their lives.
You were quoted in an article about this in the publication Vox.com, and the writer there was going through something similar to what you described. She wasn't a farmer. She was a runner, and she had a full-time job as well. And she said she viewed all the time and the hours that she had to put into her healthcare as kind of a really badly paying part-time job. Do you think that's what it is for some patients?
I have to say that many of my patients, when I use the term burden, that there is a burden of healthcare, a burden of treatment, they've rejected that term because they recognize that many of these tasks, they just have to do them to be well and to be alive. But when one looks carefully, one notices that the reason people have to wait and have to make calls and make sure that faxes are sent around and communication takes place and all this other work of coordinating care and getting the care that one needs, that is not because of, you know, a natural law or divine intervention. This is how healthcare has organized itself to be perhaps efficient in its own delivery of care, but in some ways becoming efficient by transferring work and effort to patients. If you have a simple condition, maybe you can deal with the inconvenience. But if you end up accumulating multiple chronic conditions and your care is complicated, this little inconveniences add up to what I think correctly the reporter called a part-time job.
We're talking right now to Dr. Victor Montori from the Mayo Clinic about the work involved with being a patient, coordinating your care, calling the pharmacy, making appointments, getting x-rays scheduled, and what all of that can take, the time involved, the labor, and what he calls the burden. And Dr. Montori, does it have to be that way? You say healthcare has organized itself that way. In some ways, there are efficiencies there, but is there a better way?
Yeah. We believe that healthcare can be minimally disruptive on patients, that the efforts of efficiency should not stop at the door of the hospital or at the door of the clinic. They should continue into the patient's workplace or into the patient's kitchen or bathroom, where the patient is organizing and the families are organizing how to take care of pills and coordinate appointments and these sorts of things. We need to make the whole process waste-free, and particularly for patients and their families, because they don't have the resources and personnel and support that the healthcare system have. They have to just do it on their own.
What part does the healthcare insurance industry play in all this?
They could be part of the solution. I believe they're not. The way healthcare is reimbursed, the way healthcare is paid, sometimes introduces unnecessary procedures, paperwork, that add to the work that the patient has to do to get the care they need. Sometimes they have to make additional phone calls in order to just organize some of the care that is necessary. There's effort now to force patients to shop around for maybe better prices for some services like, say, MRI scans. But that shopping around may actually find the patient having to go 90 miles to another facility to get their MRI just because it's less expensive for the insurer, for the payer. Without that, of course, it makes a lot of sense until you realize that it's very expensive, perhaps, for a busy single mother of two children to take the time away from their low-paying job and risk that job, perhaps, for getting to that cheaper MRI. So we need to. The payers have to understand that they can't make their bottle on the shoulder of patients.
And let's take a caller now. We've got Teresa on the line waiting to talk to you in Madison. Hi, Teresa.
Hi. I am a RN case manager in Madison for one of the healthcare providers. I do help with care coordination. It's a free service we offer. We do look at prices. We do help in network and out-of-network care. We coordinate appointments, we do education, and we try to take some of the stress out of that situation for the family members. We have a long way to go, but we've been around for a while, and I think we're definitely part of the solution.
And Teresa, do people know about you, and how does someone access a service like that?
Well, I work for SSM, Dean, St. Mary's, and on our website, we usually have a case management section where you can do a self-referral, a doctor can refer. It depends on what your needs are. Can you hear me?
Uh-huh. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. And so that is one way, and it is a free service. It's a part of their benefits. I wish we were better utilized, but I'm very proud of what I do. We have embedded case managers in the clinics, and then we have telephonic case managers, and then we have other nurses that do utilization review. So we're all working very hard to try to fix this problem. I know we have a long way to go, but it's neat to be part of the solution.
Teresa, thank you so much for that. And Dr. Montori, what do you think about a solution like that, where there are individual systems set up within the healthcare system to organize patient care from the inside?
Yeah, of course, it's great work. And one of the things that is a challenge for care coordinators is what are their marching orders? And in many health systems, care coordinators are there to advocate for the patient and to facilitate things for the patient. But in other environments, care coordinators are there to make sure that patients do the work that they've been asked to do. And in those settings, those care coordinators tend to be quite frustrated, get quite frustrated because they know that they're asking people to do things that they have no capacity themselves to do. Care coordinators can be real heroes for patients if they're able to really act on their behalf, reduce the work of navigating the system on behalf of patients to achieve patient goals. But again, sometimes they're put in place to achieve the health system goals and to find ways of getting patients to do that work. It's interesting to me that the system recognizes that it's poorly designed and requires people to hire additional people to navigate the system rather than redesigning the system to make it easier for everyone. And I think that there is an opportunity for systems to look seriously at the way they've evolved and ask the question, why couldn't our services be so easy that we wouldn't need navigators to help patients find the care that they need?
We're talking to Dr. Victor Montori right now from the Mayo Clinic about the work involved with being a patient.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Is it tough to navigate your work life and your healthcare needs? How would you like to see the healthcare system operate differently? What's your experience been like as a patient? Or if you're a provider, what's your experience? What are your insights? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll pick up our conversation in just a little bit here on Central Time.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard, and we're continuing our conversation now with Dr. Victor Montori of the Mayo Clinic about the work of being a patient.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you had this experience of being a patient, maybe having a chronic need, and it feels like a part-time job that you have to coordinate around your job, your family, people you're taking care of yourself? Do you agree that the healthcare system needs to do more to help patients? What do you think would make the healthcare system better in the United States, make it work more efficiently and maybe more conveniently for the patients? Call in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And Dr. Montori, before we get back to the callers, I want to ask you about some maybe alternatives. One of these that you've talked about is healthcare homes, and the other would be taking the care to the patient. So maybe there are physicians available in workplaces, in schools, in businesses, things like that. What about those options?
Yeah, I think they have to be organized carefully around the needs of the patients. I think that there are a number of things now before we even change completely the models of care. There are a number of things that we could do to simplify things for folks, and those come usually from seriously considering whether everything that we're asking patients to do is necessary, and the mechanisms by which the ways in which we're asking them to do it. For instance, a patient with two or three chronic conditions probably is asked to come to clinic and have blood drawn, and they're probably being asked to check blood sugars or blood pressure values at home before they come in, and so forth. And the question that the clinician and patient should be asking is all this work really worth it? Do we have to do it? And the answer, yes, you have to do it because this protocol is no longer acceptable. So I would say that before people start thinking, oh, we need to change the whole system and we need a wholesale change, sometimes just carefully looking at the tasks that are expected of patients and asking carefully whether those tasks are in fact necessary to achieve the goals of patients, and then quitting those that are not. That may be the first line of work for each of our patients.
Let's go to a caller now. We have Jessica with us next in Platteville. Hi, Jessica.
Hi. I'm a referral advocate at a rural health clinic in Platteville, and I was wondering if the doctor would be able to comment on the lack of specialty care that's available to patients in rural areas.
All right. Thank you, Jessica. And Dr. Montori, what about accessibility in rural areas?
very tough problem. Many rural areas are served by critical access hospitals, and we know those have been under attack in terms of their funding. Specialists are expecting different opportunities that maybe those are available in rural areas, and so they tend not to seek employment in those areas, and the resources available in rural areas may not be there to support some specialists because the density or volume of patients is lower. Some technology solutions have become available in the last few years, such as telemedicine, that allow primary care clinicians in rural areas to connect through technology, video conferencing, for instance, with specialty services, and bring those specialists to the point of life of each patient rather than have patients travel long distances to get that kind of care. I think that the technology needs to continue to expand, and those services need to continue to thrive in order to better serve the rural population.
Jessica, thanks a lot. And when we talk about the healthcare system, I mean, in a way, it's not the right term for reform. We're not talking about a monolith here. There are lots of individual providers, and I imagine them each of them do things a little differently. So when you're looking at sort of a many-headed beast like that, how do you begin to reform and have it ultimately be something that's systemic?
Well, so another part of the work of being a patient is, of course, when patients have to see, because of, specialty or access to services, they have to see clinicians that work in different so-called systems that view, for instance, different records. And as a result, those records and the information that is available in one system don't transfer easily to the other. And patients have to do the work of making sure that all their doctors or all their clinicians are on the same page and have access to the same information. And it's often the case that the only one that knows actually what's going on is the patient, and none of the clinicians have the full picture. And so that's another piece of the work. You're right, the monster has multiple heads, and change sometimes seems very difficult. I am partial to a kind of change that puts patients and communities in the driver's seat because they know the kinds of challenges they have to go through in order to get the care that they need and want. And I don't see clinicians, doctors like me, leading the change. And I certainly don't see payers and healthcare organizations creating change on behalf of patients, but more on behalf of their own business objectives. So I'm really hopeful for eventually some major change that's driven by patients, some form of a patient revolution. And I hope that will come soon.
So what would that be? I'm a patient. What do I do if I want to bring about a revolution?
Well, I think there are certain things one can do. For instance, at the level of the clinic visit, at each visit you go and have with your clinician, participate actively if you can. And if you can, bring a loved one or an advocate with you that can participate actively in that visit. Do you really need all those tests? Do you really need all those treatments? Are there ways of simplifying the tests and treatments? Do I really need to come back in 2 weeks? Do I really need to get those follow-up tests? So question and ensure that the clinician knows what your goals are and that the objectives of the treatment and the treatment are in fact matched. So there's personal advocacy that can occur in every visit. And if the clinician has no time for you to ask those questions in this visit, schedule another visit until you get your questions answered and you get the care that you need. Of course, scheduling another visit is more work for you, and that's why we need to fundamentally change that. And then the next level is at the level of the community. If your community has more than one hospital, more than one clinic, work hard so that they won't compete with each other. If they compete, each of them is going to get their own set of services, their own set of CAT scans, their own set of robots that do surgeries, their own set of surgeries, and then they'll have to pay for all of that. And the best way that those hospitals and clinics have to pay for all that technology is to bring more patients through their doors. So you'll have to do more tests and more treatments than perhaps you need so that these hospitals and clinics can stay afloat financially. Make sure that as a community, your healthcare organizations in your community collaborate so that they don't have to overlap services and each one can serve the needs of the community and that they have common information services so that patients don't have to negotiate. Those are a couple of areas and instances in which patients could bring about change at the local level.
We're talking to Dr. Victor Montori from the Mayo Clinic, talking about the work of being a patient. And back to our phones now. Roger in Fitchburg is next. Hi, Roger.
Hi. Well, I have been severely disabled for 45 years. I think the first step in solution to these problems is single-payer health care. Going beyond that, socialized medicine. Many prominent physicians in Wisconsin are for that. I've lost tens of thousands of dollars just because it missed deadlines in applying for co-payments from insurance because of the complexity of these systems. The drugstores don't work with the doctors or...
Roger, thank you for that. And Roger saying he believes part of the solution is single-payer health care. What do you think, Dr. Montori?
I have to agree that simplifying the administrative aspect of healthcare is absolutely part of the solution, because a lot of the work comes from the paperwork and the phone calls and the pre-approvals and other things. And it would be simple to deal with just one entity rather than multiple entities. I personally find quite compelling the notion of a simplified financial payment system, and a single payer is one of those simplified approaches.
And as we wrap up here, are you hopeful? Are you seeing signs that there might be the kind of shift that you're talking about towards something which is easier to navigate?
I have to be hopeful. Going from completely ignoring the issue to now having a radio program where we spend time discussing with folks about how much work it is to be a patient and the potential ways in which we can reduce it, to me, sounds like progress. It's early days. Let's work to try to reduce the work of being a patient. Let's work for a healthcare system that responds to our needs in ways that doesn't take away from us the energy and time that we need to pursue our own hopes and dreams. That's what I would like, and I think we're making progress.
Dr. Montori, thank you so much for joining us today.
Delighted.
That was Dr. Victor Montori, professor of medicine at the Mayo Clinic. He's a practicing diabetes doctor, researcher, and author, also a recognized expert in minimally disruptive medicine. Joined us there to talk about the work of being a patient. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.